It might still sound like science fiction to most of us, but we're not so far from a world in which robots have taken over a large portion of our jobs.
We're talking about artificial intelligence, the Internet of Things, virtual reality, robotics, nanotechnology. And I spoke with one researcher who says all of that technology means that smart machines are able to tackle both the cognitive and manual tasks that humans do now. According to Catherine Ludwig with the Darden School of Business at the University of Virginia, as many as 50% of the jobs that Americans do now could be automated today with technology that already exists.
Well, Lauren, I almost hesitate to ask this, but what does that mean for the rest of us non-robots?
There is an answer to this, and that's what Ludwig and her co-author Ed Hess tackle in their new book, Humility is the New Smart, Rethinking Human Excellence in the Smart Machine Age. And when I spoke with Ludwig, I asked her first what kinds of jobs we're talking about here that technology is already rapidly replacing.
It's not just truck drivers and robots flipping hamburgers and sort of these manual jobs that we think of. It's accounting and law and software development even, because machines are able to learn. They're able to teach themselves. Already we've got machines that can diagnose illnesses. We have software programs that can do due diligence, which is pretty much what most new lawyers do. They can write sports reports and financial reports. For any given skill you can think of, some scientist somewhere is probably already developing an algorithm to do it.
So if a lot of our jobs, 50%, could be replaced by technology today, what does that mean for the future of the human workforce? We will still need jobs. We will still need to create an economic market. What's left for us?
Right, exactly. So I guess there's a couple ways to think about it. The macro analysis is we will likely have a large portion of the population that's either unemployed or underemployed, because, you know, it'll be rare to have a full-time job, permanent job. There just won't need as many people to work, and so most people who do work will be doing so on a contingent basis. Now, our book takes a more micro view of how do I, as an individual, or as a small company, or as a leader of an organization, how do I prepare myself, or how do I prepare my kids? And so, you know, we're really trying to advocate that people need to change their whole mindsets about what it means to be successful and what it means to be smart as a human being. So we think about what makes a successful human being in this country. You know, a lot of it is who's the smartest, fastest, most competitive person. And what we're really going to need to do is be a lot more socially and emotionally intelligent and a lot more collaborative and creative. And businesses aren't set up to encourage that. Our schools aren't set up to encourage learning in that way.
Right. So it sounds like what you're saying is that we need to, as human beings, become more human in order to differentiate ourselves, to stand out.
Exactly. Exactly. It's sort of ironic that in some ways technology is going to sort of dehumanize our workplaces by reducing human headcount. But on the other hand, we're all going to need to be a lot more human and humane to each other, because that's where we'll add value and be relevant, is in the sort of social and emotional connection with each other.
A conversation we have in Arizona often about education especially is the focus on STEM education, the science, technology, math, stuff like that, where we say this is the future, we all need to be better at these things. And it sounds like you would argue almost the opposite, that we focus more on social skills and maybe the arts, creative stuff like that. Would that make sense?
Yes, definitely. Of course, we're all going to need to be able to adapt to technology as it continues to change. So we need to be technologically savvy. But even, you know, computer scientists at some of the best universities are advocating against this sort of obsessiveness with teaching little kids to code, that it's not the actual coding that's important. It's computational thinking. So being able to think like somebody who codes to solve a problem.
So what can we do now to address this? It sounds like this is happening sooner than anybody's really prepared for.
Sure. So I think very simply, all of us need to become continual learners, lifelong learners. So getting out of the mindset of I'm constantly trying to prove how smart I am, and change that mindset to one of I need to become a better thinker and a better collaborator and better at connecting to other human beings. And it takes a lot of different behaviors to do that. And, you know, one of them is humility. It's sort of a basic mindset that underscores all of these skills, these human skills, is this sense of humility. And it's this psychological definition of humility, which just means not thinking about yourself so much, being much more mindful and aware of your weaknesses and strengths, and being able to see, you know, reality and the value and the perspectives of other people. It's that sort of sense of humility that underlies learning. It underlies being a critical thinker who can sort of weed through information that maybe contradicts your assumptions, but you're giving it, you know, its full weight and thought, and also listening to other people's perspectives.
Catherine Ludwig is the co-author of the book, Humility is the New Smart. Catherine, thanks so much for coming on the show to talk to us about this.
Thank you.